In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are continuing with Luisa Finds That Peace is Everything in the Divine Will, Part 1. We are on page 4, at the bottom of the page. Volume 3, 1900. Jesus begins, "Now, would you be able to tell me, the Lord God Almighty, what it is that breaks the sweet contrasts and removes the loving discontents that may arise between God and the soul?" So here, Jesus is asking Luisa this question, but he's also asking us, do you know what breaks this unity, this love, this sweetness that comes from God? What is it? And since Luisa did not answer, Jesus himself said, "My daughter, only obedience has this office. So here, what we see is that Adam was disobedient. Adam did not obey God. The Lord says, "Do not eat the fruit of this tree, or you will die that day." And he believed Lucifer. He believed the liar, the deceiver, the murderer, as Jesus says, from the beginning. And because he disobeyed and left the divine will, we all now are living in our human will, our human misery. And again, our human misery is what we say when we go to confession. We're outside of the unity with God. And Jesus says, only obedience has this office, because the soul alone decides about the things pertaining to me. Because the obedience alone decides about the things that pertains to me and the soul. So Lucifer, when God showed him basically who he was and what he wanted, Lucifer said, "I will not serve, I will not obey." Those who humble themselves, fiat mihi, Our Lady most especially, "Let it be done to me as you say," total docility, total surrender, total submission, are exalted. She became queen of heaven and earth. Lucifer, who said with pride, "I will not serve, I will not obey," he exalted himself, and he was brought down low. Where? To hell. If we're not in obedience to Christ and his church, and this is why our dogma and our doctrine is so magnificent, and our dogma and our doctrine is so beautiful, it's to begin to think with the mind of Christ. It's to begin to think from a divine perspective. This is what the Holy Church teaches us. And so what Jesus is asking of us, he's asking us to really begin to live a life thinking with the mind of Christ. How do we get this? Through obedience. So only obedience has this office, because obedience alone decides about the things pertaining to God and the soul. And when some contrasts arise, or when some discontent comes to mortify the soul, as obedience arises, obedience breaks the contrasts. Obedience removes the discontents. Obedience puts peace back between God and the soul. So, you know, what the Lord is basically saying is this. If you are obedient to Christ and his church, I can give you this gift of the divine will. This is what obedience will bring. Why? Adam was disobedient. Adam was unfaithful. When we are faithful to Christ and his church, when we're obedient to Christ and his church, then with that fiat that we give to God in all situations, what happens is at that point, great things can happen. Everything becomes peace, joy, and happiness. We begin to live heaven on earth. Now, I know many people who live a contraceptive life, even in their minds, a contraceptive reality. and really on disobedience to Humanae Vitae. This is bishops and priests and nuns who think like this. With that disorder of not being obedient to Christ in his church, not thinking with the mind of Christ, what does those people say? They say, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I have the freedom to do what I want. And what happens? God says, fine. Basically, you've said to God, no. When God says to us through the Holy Church, this is what I'm asking, and you say, no, I'm not going to listen, I'm not going to obey. You're on your own, basically. And everything starts falling apart. Our responsibility and duty before God is to let Him be our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. This is why when we go into church and we genuflect before the Lord. We kneel before the Lord. He's our everything. And when we say, I will not serve, I will not obey, what happens at that point is we begin our hell on earth. Everything seems to go wrong. And then what do? You get angrier with whom? With God. You get angry with the church. I don't need Holy Mass. I don't need confession. I'm pretty good. I will not serve, I will not obey. What the Lord is asking of us is, He says, I want to bring you back to order. God is order, He said. Jesus says, God, the Lord is order. The disorder is where we are at this point, separate from God. When we embrace God and get closer and closer to our Lord and our Lady, everything is restored in our life. We become peaceful, joyful, and happy again, knowing and trusting in our God, our Savior, our King. When we don't have Him, all that we have is disorder. And it doesn't matter what you do on earth. Jesus says that, you can gain the whole world but lose your soul. What good is that? You know, our soul is the most important thing. And for our children, their souls are the most important thing. And what we want for the children, what we want for ourselves is the best. The best is heaven. And the Holy Church leads us to heaven. Now, there are people in the church, unfortunately, who are there not to draw closer to God, but to lead people away from God. Unfortunately, that's there. What we have to do is we have to find those places, those churches, those priests, those bishops who want to be faithful and obedient to Christ and His church. That usually puts us in a situation where we are separated from our family and friends and neighbors and co-workers and parishioners. I've heard priests tell people that, you can go to the wedding of your son or your daughter in the middle of the forest, married by, some shaman. It's okay. God knows. God loves you. God. Not realizing that if the marriage isn't blessed by the church, you're not going to have a happy and holy marriage. It's, marriage is tough, but without the blessing of God, and you go to celebrate someone living in the state of sin, separate from Christ and His church. I mean, those who are Catholic. How can you celebrate knowing that they're endangering their souls if they don't turn back to God quickly? Our job is to be faithful and obedient to Christ and His church. This is what's necessary. And when you keep holy the Sabbath, I'm not going to go to I'm not going to make Sunday another Saturday filled with sports and parties and You're with your family usually on Sunday. This is how the way it used to be, and where you recognize God as the king of the household. The father is the one who leads in prayer. It's not the mother. And a number of times the father doesn't, so the mother begins, and all it does is causes conflict. The father is the head of the family. He leads the family in prayer. He is the priest of that little parish. You have holy water fonts as you enter into your home. You have a place of prayer in your home. Most families have the television, where the father sits and sleeps. It's facing that tabernacle, that black tabernacle. The father has to give the blessings. The father, the mother prays. I mean, she's the heart of the family. The father is the head of the family. And when the head of the family is into everything but God, that obedience is not there. But, because it's not me that's saying the father is the head of the family. It's the Holy Church that says that. It's sacred scripture that says that. If the father isn't bringing blessings, and when one of the children are sick, it's the father who should anoint the child and pray for the child. And if the child continues and is in danger, you call in the elders of the church. Well, who are the elders of the church? Who are the presbyters of the church? It's the priests to pray, the father of the parish, of the town. He comes in to pray. His blessing is important for the child to be restored to health. If we don't keep holy the Sabbath, if we're not obedient to that, how can we think that God will answer our prayers? When we don't even listen to what he says in the commandments, keep holy the Sabbath. So the Lord looks at us and the Lord says, you know how to bring back order? Obedience. And that's why you have your marriage blessed. That's why the father leads in prayer. The father should lead in prayer at the table. And then each one of the children should, again, participate in that prayer, asking God, thanking God, praising God, glorifying God for at least something each day. And it doesn't have to be the same thing every day. You should be in competition and praying the rounds with your children at the dinner table. You know, teaching them what the rounds are about. Did you know that every leaf on a tree is an I love you from God? Do you know every blade of grass is an I love you from God? Do you know every grain of sand is an I love you from God? Do you know every drop of water that's coming down from heaven is an I love you from God? I mean, teaching the children what Adam was supposed to teach his children, to recognize the I love yous of God in all of creation. And then go to the I love yous of God in redemption. You know, especially during the Lenten season. Did you know that every drop of blood that Jesus shed, he used that drop of blood to buy you so that you're no longer a slave of the evil one. You know, people bring people to Disneyland. They bring their children to Disneyland. They let your children watch movies that have nothing to do with Christ and his church. Oh, it's good. No. Look at all those children who were taught by Sesame Street how to be peaceful, joyful, and happy without Jesus Christ. That's basically what they were taught. So why should they go to church? They were taught this from an early age. You can be happy The Cookie Monster. Get close to the monster. The Count Dracula. Get close to the Count. We don't need Jesus Christ. That's basically what Sesame Street said. So why aren't the children going to church? They've been brainwashed to believe Jesus is not necessary. When we're obedient to Christ and his church, there will be rebellion in the family. Oh yeah, it's each human being is born with that original sin. And it's, what's the original sin? Disobedience, unfaithfulness. That's what Adam gave to us. So what does Jesus say? He says to us very, very clearly, when contrast rises, this is sin. Or when some discontent comes to mortify the soul, this is sin. This is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. This is sin. We have to understand that the way God created us was to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. That's heaven. As obedience arises, obedience will break the contrasts. It will break the sinfulness. Obedience removes the discontents and puts peace between God and the soul. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us. Obedience gives peace to the soul and to God. When there's disobedience, all we have is that which is separate from God. God is perfect order. And the sad thing that's happening in the world today is there's complete disorder, complete disharmony. Let's look at the families. There's every child has a different human will, if you want to say, I'm in charge. No, I'm in charge. Give me that. No, I mean, but when you find a family that is one with God, the child has learned the one to obey is God. And all that God says, honor thy father and thy mother. This is what Scripture tells us. Those that honor their father and mother will have a happy, holy life, a productive life. Why? Peace is there. Joy is there. Happiness is there. If the parents are in disorder, if the parents are in disobedience to Christ and his church, and that's what they've taught their children, how can there be happiness? How can there be happiness? Our Lord loves us very, very, very much. And he gives us the Holy Church to help us understand what is true and what is holy, what is saintly. And now Jesus says, through Louisa, I want to share with you a divine sanctity. That's what the priest does every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. How glorious is this? What a beautiful time to be alive. When everything seems to be falling apart around us, what is Jesus saying to us? I've got beauty. I've got a delight. I've got happiness for my children. How? Why? Because that's God. And when we're obedient to God, we participate in that. Remember, Jesus says, you know, mercy and justice go hand in hand. If we enter into the mercy of God, we receive divine justice. We receive what we want. And that is God. That is peace, joy, and happiness. If disobedience is in our life, what happens at that point is the mercy of God is rejected. We say, I don't want that. And then we have to go through the justice of God without... And that's basically to enter into a life that Noah saw 4,000 years ago. Noah was the only family that had a pure line to Adam and Eve. We have to have that pure line, bloodline, if you want to say, to the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. And you know very well, sacred scripture tells us, they were obedient to the law and the prophets. And we have to learn from them what God is expecting of us. Obedience to the law and the prophets. That's to our Christ and his church. Again, obedience brings peace to the soul, and that is God. If there is anything in your life that you're upset about, look at your life. In what way are you in disobedience to Christ and his church? And then go to confession. Recognize, this is a disorder in me. This is a disobedience in me. This is an unfaithfulness in me, and I have to change. I have to get rid of that wickedness in my life. To turn back to God, on my knees, in tears. Lord, I am truly sorry, and I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid this sin and the near occasion of this sin from now on. The sacrament of confession is so amazing. I've seen miracles. I've told you this before, but I've seen miracles happen in the confessional. I remember this one girl, 14 years old. She came in haggard looking, oppressed, depressed. And she knelt and she confessed. She, in front of my eyes, became a young, beautiful girl at that point. The sin in her life was gone. And what was there was innocence again, beauty again, happiness again, joy again. This is what Jesus is looking for. He's really looking at us and he's saying, I want to call you back. That's why he says to Louisa, I give the sacraments through the church so this will be a medicine for those that are sick. It will bring healing for those that are ill. Our Lord loves us. He loves us so much. And all that he asks of us are you willing to say fiat? Come back to me. Are you willing to recognize your disobedience? And turn back to me, Jesus. Those that are weary and find life burdensome, come to me and I will refresh you. What is the weariness? It's disobedience. It's not being happy, not being peaceful, not being joyful. Weary and life find life burdensome. What's the burden? Trying to live separate without God. I'm in charge of my life. No, we are creatures. The Lord alone is God. And he will give us that peace, joy, and happiness when we turn back to him. Volume 4, 1022, 1900. I have no human reason. Therefore, I do not know how to adapt myself to the human way. This is what Jesus is telling us. I have no human reason. It's divine. I don't know how to adapt myself to the human way. See, that's what God is waiting for us to recognize that we are strangers in a strange land. Earth is not where we're supposed to be. We were made for paradise. We were made for Eden. That's why Jesus began his crucifixion, death, and resurrection in the Garden of Gethsemane, the garden. That's why Jesus gave to Louisa a little garden outside the St. Anthony Orphanage. To begin again. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, went to Golgotha, went to the place of the skull. You know, why is it called the place of the skull? Tradition said that was where Adam's skull was buried. That's where Adam was buried. That's where his skull was. And you see the skull and crossbones at the bottom of the cross. It's for three reasons. Jesus conquered death. Jesus was buried at Golgotha, and it symbolized truly the place where the skull of Adam was. So the blood of Jesus went upon the skull of Adam first to redeem him. And what we have to understand is that this time of Lent that we, the church, the Holy Church gives us, is a time to go through the passion of the Christ, to be with him, to recognize what he and the Blessed Mother has gone through. And then to thank God, to praise God, to love God, to glorify God, to worship God for every drop of blood, every tear, every sigh that was shed, the tear that was shed, everything that Jesus and Mary went through, all the sufferings that they went through, to thank God and to bless God and to worship God and to praise God. That Jesus, because of what the Father wanted, filled with the Holy Spirit, who concurred with the crucifixion and death of Christ. Mary concurred with the crucifixion. Son, I want you dead. I want you dead, crucified. See, that's not the way humans think. That's why Jesus says very clearly, I have no human reason, therefore I do not know how to adapt myself to the human way. God is asking us to let go of our human understandings, to begin to think with a divine perspective, to begin to see things from a divine perspective. You know, and today with euthanasia, again, where do the hospices, where did these hospices begin? The hospice is the newest name. But the hospices were started by the same woman who started Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger. It's to get rid of life. And I've seen so many good souls who go into a hospital and in a very short period of time die. We have to understand our job is to be praising God for life, not abortion, not euthanasia. Jesus said that in Mark 3:4-5. He says to his apostles, is it better to save life or to destroy it? And they wouldn't respond to Jesus. And he was filled with anger for their hardness of heart. What's better, to destroy life or to save it? The Lord asks us this. The Lord asks us to think with a divine perspective. What is suffering about? What is suffering about? The church teaches us suffering is redemptive. And a lot of us will go to purgatory because of sin in our life. I mean, even when you go to confession, you have to repair and redo. Say, for example, if you take money, steal money, and this is many, many ways, a lot of people jack up the prices on something which they, when they see a way of making money, you got to pay for that. That's not correct. And so you have to either reimburse that person if the person is gone and you can't find the person to repay that person. Then you have to give what you took. And it can't just be, I don't think, it can just be the amount that you took. But in reparation, remember Zechariah? He says, if I have ever cheated anybody, I will repay them fourfold. This is what God, he looks at your heart And he says, are you willing to make amends for what you've done? To lose, not just to break even, but to lose what you have taken. I mean, that's just, people recognize, you know, in businesses, they take certain things. Well, nobody will miss that. Nobody will miss this. Nobody will miss that. And it's not. The story I remember hearing when I was in grammar school was a monk who was asked to go shopping. And this was his job. And they would give him a certain amount of money. And when he had extra, when he came back, he'd have to give it back to the prior because it's not his money. So what he did was thinking humanly, well, what I'll do is I won't have to ask him. I'll just, any extra change, I'll just put on my counter. And when I need something, I'll have the extra change, so I won't have to ask him. And it's his money anyways. And he had to go to purgatory for that. Well, why? He was just being, no, it's not his money. In a monastery, you own nothing. It's not yours. You return, I mean, that's what we were taught as kids. You return what is not yours. Why, I'm just hanging on to it. I'm not using it for myself. I don't have to ask the next time. No, that's not correct. That's thinking, that's not being submissive. Well, I don't want to be submissive. That's nonsense. I'm just making sure that, you know, he doesn't have to listen to me and I'll have the money here. No, you're not supposed to have the money in a monastery. I was shocked by that as a kid. I'm going, well, he's only being practical. But what it taught me is that's not mine. It has to go back to who it belonged to. You know, the story of the person wandering back to pay for a few pennies that was given to him by mistake at the grocery store. Well, they charge too much anyway, so I'm breaking even. No, it doesn't work like that. See, what happens when that happens, thinking humanly, thinking an earthly way, it breaks down the honesty. Oh, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does. See, when Jesus says to Louisa, I'm going to bring to each person the divine will, they're going to become a divine masterpiece, a divine masterpiece. Each soul in the divine will will become a divine master. That means nothing of the earth. It means only of heaven. It means they have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. It's they have the DNA of Jesus, the DNA of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. It doesn't mean we become Jesus or we become Mary. It means we are like them. Image and likeness. This is why when you read the three missions of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, it is so amazing. Who is this human born of original sin, Louisa Picaretta, that God is saying these things about? Who is she? What has God done that he didn't do in the saints? What? How could we be possibly greater than the greatest saints that were on the earth? Jesus teaches Louisa that the saints did the will of God. Now he says, I want you to live in the will of God. A vast difference. So this is why Jesus says very, very clearly, I don't know how to adapt myself to the human way. That's what God is asking of you in the divine will. He wants you to be so absorbed with this gift that the human way is foreign. We're foreigners in a foreign land. That's what God is asking. To begin to understand that you are children of the kingdom, not of the earth. You're children of the kingdom. And that's going back to the Father. That's what the Father has to teach their children. And again, you, with this truth that the fathers are teaching their children, What will happen at that point is the children begin to see with the eyes of faith. This is what it means to hand your faith to your children. Jesus says, "My reason is divine." And he's saying to us, "I want you to begin to see things from a divine perspective. I want you to begin to see everything from a divine perspective, not a human perspective, not a news-worthy perspective, not a historical perspective, not a scientific perspective, not a natural perspective." Jesus is saying to us, "I want you to begin to see things from a divine perspective." So he says very clearly, "My reason is divine." So, for the soul who wants to live in peace with me, Jesus, and again, Lady Obedience, that's divine reason, it is absolutely necessary that the soul loses her human and acquires the divine, Jesus's. See, this obedience that God wants us to enter into, this Lady Obedience. And that's why Louisa would always say, according, Lady Obedience is tough. It's to see things from a divine perspective. To begin to understand how Jesus lived, how Mary lived. You know, just think of after the Son of God was born in Bethlehem, and Joseph, because of a dream, says to the Blessed Mother, "We have to go to Egypt." Our Lady didn't complain. She said, "Okay, you are my husband. You are the head of this family. Yes." Do we hear that today? It didn't make sense. Why do we have to go? Why do we have to go to Egypt? We got a beautiful house in Nazareth. Let's go back there. Joseph says we have to go to Egypt. Now, it's not because Joseph just said this out of the blue. No. He was a prayerful man. He was obedient to God. And then when he as the father, when he as the husband spoke, the wife, the mother of the Son of God, said, "Yes, I will obey." There's a book out there for any woman that's upset with her husband. It's How to Change My Husband. It's a great book. How to Change My Husband. You know, it's not by chance. When you get your marriage blessed, when you know you're trying to live a good and holy life, and the marriage is difficult, what God is doing is He's working on each person. Each person. A marriage isn't 50-50. Marriage is 100%, 100%. And that soul is married to that other soul to bring that soul to heaven. It's not, you know, do what I want, snap your fingers and get it done. See, obedience is something that is very foreign to us and is hated by most of the world, because that's part of our nature at this point, fallen human nature. Even though we have been baptized and redeemed by Christ Jesus and we receive the sacraments, that is gnawing at us constantly. Disobedience, unfaithfulness. And what Jesus is asking of us is, you've got to conquer this. And Jesus says, "I will give you the grace. I will give you the help. Jesus is, he's our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. When we call out to him, Lord, give me strength. Lord, help me in this situation. God says, okay, I will. Trust me. It's that we don't snap our fingers at God and say, get this done now. What Jesus is asking of us is, he's asking us to trust him to such a degree that he will take care of his little peons. That's us. And we don't have to worry about a thing. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. But when we pray and when we say, I want this now, and God says, it's going to take more prayer, then we say, fiat, let it be done as you say. Fiat, let it happen as you wish. It's not to snap your fingers at God. My goodness. I hear that often. I've been praying and my prayers are not answered. Well, okay, who haven't you forgiven? That's the main obstacle for not getting our prayers answered. Who are you complaining about? Who are you negative with? Who do you hold a grudge against? You got to remember, Jesus shows us that you love God as much as you hate the person, one person the most. That's how much you love God. Because it's to love your God with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength. And together with that, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's together. So, oh, I love God. I kneel down. I worship God. I praise God. I love, but I don't like that person over there. What a pain that person is. God goes, that's how much you love me. See, Jesus says, my commandment to you is love one another as I have loved you. He died on the cross for us. Shed every drop of blood for us. This is why we pray the rounds of redemption. Loving God and praising God and thanking God and worshiping God. Especially those last 24 hours of his passion. Focused on that. If we recognize Christ crucified. Mother Teresa shows us a lot of things. And she said, basically, those that receive communion in the hand have caused much of the trouble, much of the difficulty for Christ and his church. You can believe that or not. Our Lady showed Father Gobi Christ with his skin ripped off his body. Shred by shred, his body was ripped off. His skin was ripped off his body, covered in blood. And Father Gobi said, Our Lady, what happened to Jesus? And she says, this is receiving communion in the hand. This is what it does to Christ. Now, most people don't believe that. Oh, I don't believe this. I'm not doing anything. I have permission. I can do that. Well, I know if I wasn't a priest, I would receive communion from a priest at Holy Mass. Again, when the illumination of conscience comes, when we begin to see how beautiful, how holy, how saintly, how good, how perfect, how loving our Lord is. And recognize what Holy Communion is about. See, we're going to be illuminated about that too. What this is all about. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ given to us as our food. We're going to fall on our knees and weep of how we treated our Lord. Remember what Jesus said that. He says, when the churches close, he says, I myself will close them. And the first reason, he said, is because of the sacrileges that are occurring. I'm tired of the sacrileges. again, our Lord is asking us to turn back to Him and to recognize Him as our God, not as our buddy and pal, but our God, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. He's asking us to be obedient. Pray about communion in the hand. I know the bishops have said you can. I know that that's true. Pray about it. Ask Jesus. When we see who our Lord is, when our eyes are open to see who He is, we're going to be weeping for the way we treated Him. He's our King, our God, our Savior. We have to become obedient Christ in His church. We have to really turn to Him with our whole heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.